We're at a historic tipping point for women. In October 2017, the hashtag MeToo spread across the globe. What began as a Hollywood sexual assault scandal sparked a public reckoning around the world.
Thousands of women are using two words on social media to identify themselves as survivors of sexual harassment and assault.
A watershed moment in our
country. New laws have been passed, and powerful men have been forced to step down.
Sorry for the damage that Oxfam has done.
Face arrest and conviction. But now, Me Too is igniting wider debates.
Today is on the horizon!
About the ability of legal systems to deliver justice.
The problem here is our systems are not strong enough to back them.
About how men should behave around women.
We don't know what the rules are, and it turns out that there's way more of them than you thought.
And about the battle for gender equality.
First you had Me Too, and now you have Now What?
Pretoria, South Africa. Inspired by the global Me Too movement, these women are protesting about the country's high rates of rape and femicide, the deliberate murder of women. In South Africa, the number of women killed by a partner or family member is five times higher than the global average.
Okay, Sanibonani, Sanibonani. I would like to officially welcome each and every woman here.
Avela Fay is one of the organisers. Like many of the protesters, Avela has been personally affected by femicide.
At the age of 13, I lost my mother to femicide. She was brutally murdered in her own home, and the perpetrators are free. They're roaming the streets. So not only was I failed by someone we knew as a family, but we were failed by the justice system.
Here, even a recent president, Jacob Zuma, has been accused of rape. The charges were dropped in court in 2006, but sexual and physical violence have continued to afflict all levels of society. Today, the protesters are marching on the parliament and have demanded a hearing with the current president, Cyril Ramaphosa.
We shut the country down!
But at the parliament buildings, it's soon clear the president will not be meeting them.
We wrote numerous letters to the office of the president, requesting their presence today. They decided to snub us. Right? So if they decide to snub us, we will show them hell.
The president's no-show is little surprise. In this country, the police reported a 7.4% increase in all crimes against women in the last year alone. But for the protesters, today has still been an important step in raising public awareness.
Because of the society that we live in, it takes courage for a woman to stand up and say, hey, enough is enough. We all deserve a round of applause.
In Johannesburg, Gigi White runs the charity Get Up Women. She helps victims of sexual violence whose cases have been dropped by the police.
We're off to go and meet two ladies who have allegedly been raped by their boss.
Nearly half of all rape cases reported to South African police do not result in an arrest.
Okay, so before we start,
these two women allege their boss sexually assaulted them at work.
We have got everybody and everything it's going to take to keep you guys safe.
Gigi has come with her colleagues Sean and Dave to take statements from them.
So he just wants to ask a couple of questions. We have to do this properly.
Sean's role is to pass evidence to the police and pressure them to investigate the case properly.
Scooch up. Come on, buddy. Come here.
You're not gonna fight this like her. You're gonna fight this like her.
Okay. Who did you give the statements to? Did you go to the cops?
Yeah.
Okay. And where did the case go from there? When was this?
It was 2016.
The women suspect their boss bribed the police to drop the investigation.
He doesn't know enough people, trust me.
He's going to need to know a lot more after this one.
It's time to face justice.
And we will go through the whole entire thing with you. Every case, every court appearance, we will be there. You will not do this alone.
Thank you.
I think this is going to be a lot uglier and a lot bigger than what we first thought.
As a third woman has now said she was assaulted by the same boss, Gigi hopes the police can be pushed to reopen this case. But things could hit a familiar brick wall.
One of the biggest issues that we have with the cops. Everybody's prepared to take a bribe.
The number of women asking Gigi for help has increased since Me Too. Yet she's worried there will be no lasting impact in South Africa unless there are more prosecutions.
We have this huge big movement that started. Women are getting up, they're telling people exactly what happened and how it happened. And the problem here is our systems are not strong enough to back them. If we don't start getting the prosecution done and getting these women justice, we're just going to end up sliding backwards.
In America, the Me Too movement is starting to have an impact on the justice system.
A new day is on the horizon!
Following the Harvey Weinstein scandal, over 300 public figures have donated millions of dollars to the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund.
Women have united to claim that time is up.
At these small, unassuming headquarters in Washington, D.C., giant steps are being taken.
We've got farm workers, retail, hotel workers,
poultry workers.
American women can apply to the fund for free legal support if they have been sexually harassed or assaulted at work. So far, there have been over 3,500 applications, mainly from women in low-wage industries.
Could I get your first?
It's up to interns like Noah to field the rising number of calls.
These are the list of intakes that we're going to be sending attorneys to. We have it listed as, you know, workplace sexual harassment, other workplace sex discrimination. There's probably at least 30 or 40 here just for today.
Some of the claims stretch back decades.
The most memorable case I've had to deal with was a woman in the military. She was sexually harassed by her superiors, by the people around her, and it kind of destroyed her life. She told me, "You're the first person I've ever told this to."
Applications vetted here in Washington, D.C. are passed to a network of 700 lawyers working across 48 states. The fund has already filed claims against McDonald's, the U.S. Postal Service, and Walmart. They hope this will prompt other major organizations to change their own rules about sexual harassment.
Employers have an opportunity to lead right now. They don't actually need to wait for new laws to pass. They can right now, today, decide that they're going to put this issue at the center of their organization.
Me Too has prompted some companies in the West to introduce new measures to deal with sexual harassment. But it has also provoked an all too predictable backlash.
I've seen signs of a kind of panic around sexuality and particularly a tendency to vilify all men.
People are not actually going through any court process.
We are risking a kind of sort of social media lynching.
Some of the backlash is being fueled by the anxieties of men forced to think about their behaviour in ways they've never had to before.
Well, everyone always feels uncomfortable when they don't know what the rules are. And now we don't know what the rules are, and it turns out that there's way more of them than you thought, and that the punishment for transgressing against them is way higher than you could have imagined.
You're saying, well, that's just...
Clinical psychologist Jordan Peterson is known for his controversial and extremely divisive views on gender.
That it's unfair. If you're a woman...
Not necessarily.
And on average, you're going
to... He's one of the most vocal critics of Me Too and its impact.
The whole purpose, in some sense, of the Me Too movement is to make men much more nervous about any manifestation of any behavior that's vaguely sexual under any circumstances whatsoever that are professional. Well, it's starting to bend and distort company policy. NBC prohibits hugging, and Netflix doesn't allow you to look at anyone for more than 5 seconds. Now, really? That's supposed to be a solution? Who thought that through? It's the suspicion of men, I would think, as men per se, that's clearly not in anyone's interest at all.
So, I don't want to shock anyone, I really don't, but the world is still run by men. And I'm just not sure it's going that well.
Facebook COO Sheryl Sandberg is a leading supporter of Me Too. Even she is worried that some of the reverberations could prove counterproductive.
I think Me Too is an opportunity. It's an opportunity to get rid of behavior that never should have happened in the first place. But we want to make sure this doesn't have negative consequences.
Sandberg is a prominent advocate for gender equality in business and the founder of the Women's Empowerment Foundation, Lean In. In early 2018, a survey conducted by Lean In found that Me Too has had an adverse effect on gender relations.
U.S. senior managers who are male are 3.5 times more likely to hesitate to have a dinner with a female junior colleague, and almost half of male managers are nervous about having a one-on-one meeting with a junior woman. You can't do work if you can't have a one-on-one meeting. My view is everyone should be able to work together, have one-on-one meetings, and behave appropriately. But at a very minimum, make access equal. If you don't feel comfortable having dinner with women, don't have dinner with men.
In New York, one pioneering company has come up with an innovative solution to improve relations between sexes in the workplace.
There we go. That one is all set up.
Morgan Mercer is the founder of Vantage Point. Her company is exploiting the power of virtual reality to train men to see the world through women's eyes.
Research shows that most men don't actually have a mental framework to reference. So most men quite literally do not understand what sexual harassment feels like.
Today, a team from customer analytics firm Castora will be exposed to sexual harassment scenarios based on real-life case studies.
Great. Great, great. This is going to be a great year.
Rachel, one really important note. Remember, it's a party, so pack something fitting.
A lot of times with sexual harassment, it's the buildup, you know, the body language and the feeling of the elephant in the room.
I honestly don't know if I want to go anymore.
What do you mean? We've been working on this for months.
And what about all the after parties?
Well, honestly, look, that's part of it. James was texting me all night, asking me what I'm going to wear.
So what did you guys think of it?
I was, like, shocked at how real it actually felt.
Look
at you, and it just, like, the whole, like, how quickly a seemingly non-harmful conversation about, like, going out as a team or something, or, like, having fun as a team can turn into, like, awkwardness and harassment.
Like, it feels like you could be here. That bench they have, I've seen it a million startup offices.
A man was sitting too close to a woman, and it was right next to me, right? So I felt pretty uncomfortable. And also her reactions to some of the comments too, you could pick up on some of those cues. So the discussions that have taken place in this past year especially, I think people are innovating in ways to facilitate better conversations, like using technology. stuff like this is incredibly important right now.
Large companies, including Google and PricewaterhouseCoopers, have expressed interest in using this VR technology to train their workforces, as has the US Congress. It all points to an important shift.
I think that we're at a pivotal point in society where women's roles are being questioned. We have fought for rights, and now we're fighting for equality in the workplace.
The fallout from Me Too has prompted some men in Western countries to question traditional notions of masculinity and what it means to be a man in society today. In Britain, former filmmaker David Fuller recently founded an alternative men's collective focused on challenging conventional forms of male behaviour.
Thanks for coming. Could you come in a little bit? Let's make it a little bit more cosy.
Men are being challenged culturally right now, and I think the right response to that is to up our game.
At an arts festival in southern England, David is running a workshop promoting what he sees as the solution to the issues raised by Me Too.
Gender is a really hot topic right now, and a lot of the things that we're seeing out there and a lot of the anger that is being felt, I think is towards men who are not really showing up. For me, the solution to the times is not to sort of shame masculinity. It's to really re-find healthy masculinity. And we're going
David believes the key to this is teaching men to be more open and communicative about their feelings.
To this whole process that we're going through, it's about how we hold ourselves back.
The argument goes, if more men improve their emotional intelligence, relations with women will improve, and this will result in greater harmony between the sexes.
I always compare myself to my peers, my friends.
You know, I want to be responsible, but of course what that means is you sacrifice a lot of things in the present because you're always trying to make sure the future is going to be okay.
I'm always amazed at how quickly men open up in our workshops.
In society, we're supposed to be a bit sort of tougher and that kind of stuff. So to kind of be able to let that go and just be able to be ourselves, felt in a safe environment to be however you wanted to be and not you being judged.
It could be some time before fringe groups like this make any real noise in mainstream society. But gender roles and gender relations are being questioned more than ever before in the wake of Me Too.
Me Too started as a conversation about sexual harassment in the workplace, but really it sheds light on that problem and a underlying fundamental problem, the lack of power that women have historically had.
This global movement has helped expose a flaw at the heart of all societies and unleash powerful forces for change that might just kickstart efforts to fix it.